All right. That's just to encourage you to shake your waist a little bit. It's Friday, the end of the week, and what you just heard was the WDR Big Band, standing for Westdeutsche Rundfunk from Köln in Germany, performing an essentially, a quintessentially Trinidadian tune, Pan Woman, featuring Andy Narell and under the direction of Vince Mendoza. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrice Lead. Oh, yes, I should mention that was from 2010. That was recorded at a live event called Caribbean Night. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. What is the purpose of Free Your Mind Friday? It's exactly that, to free your mind of something worth considering. Your opinion about some event or some news item, news issue that you have a decidedly strong opinion about. Let's hear it at 888-874-4888. Especially if you haven't been with us before, this is a good time to join. And let's welcome you to in your participation on the program. 888-874-4888. Jay from New York, you start us off today.
Yes, good afternoon, Teresa, and how are you doing?
I'm hanging in here. How are you doing, Jay?
Doing very good, and I hope everyone in the audience is also doing very well.
Great.
Listen, this wingnut in the White House is becoming more and more unhinged every day, I think. I just saw a small portion of his news conference in regards to this executive order that he's going to implement, and it's
The
shameful.
executive order is to also declare a state of emergency, which will give
Emergency.
him access to funds to build the wall. That's his intention.
It's just totally shameful. And one of the biggest stick-up jobs in the government that I've ever seen. Now, the way that it looks is it's all going to be determined by the Supreme Court. And if you look at the facts and the way that the law should be implied, it's no way in God's green earth that they should be able to side with him. But you never know. Now, if they do side with him at the Supreme Court level, it will just basically show the United States that it's a wrap as far as anything progressive happening in this country. I mean, the manipulation in which he's using for this executive order is shameful. But what's
All
more
right, but
shameful
apart
is
from the shame and all of that stuff, what is the most important thing that you see coming out of this? What is the most significant thing in his actions?
Well, the most significant thing to me is, will his party stand up against this? That's the most significant thing to me because you already know what the opposition is going to do. It is now the time for the members of his party to stand up and say, no, we have to stop
That's
this. We have
not
to
going to
put an end to
happen.
this.
I don't think, do you think it's
I
going to
said to
happen?
you, that's what I think would be the most significant thing. Now, is it going to happen? I agree with you. I don't think it would happen.
So
So
if it's not going to
whereby,
happen, let's go with the idea that if it's not going to happen, then what?
then the people must stand up and do something in regards to protests, in regards to putting pressure on their legislators, in regards to demanding that the media puts a better narrative on this. There has to be something that the public is going to have to do and demand. Because if the public doesn't demand something and change
what
the narrative,
what is the public going to demand? The public does not have access to the throttle and brake of government. The public does not control the throttle and brake of government.
Well, I disagree with you on that. I think that they do if they hold their legislators accountable. If they make the necessary demands that they're supposed to on their legislature.
Since Trump got elected, the challenge to legislators was to hold the president accountable. They haven't succeeded really in doing that.
Well, I don't think that there's been the necessary type of pushback, honestly, because of the narrative that the media puts forward, if the truth be told. I think that there's a lot of Americans that would like to do things in regards to pushback, but they don't understand the process or have a vision on how to do it because of the manipulation of the media, if the truth be told. Because the narrative for the media in regards to this sycophant is not an honest depiction of the fact that the man is a sick man, that the man has some serious issues that is causing the problems in the country. For what reason, I don't know.
Well, you
but
know,
the bottom line is, if you look at
how he's... From day one, what did I say? Well, from day one, what did I say about this president? And what the legislators that we elect, what they have to do from day one, even before he actually was inaugurated. What did I say about this president? So people are acting like, oh, my God, it's such a surprise. No, it's not.
No, I mean, no, I agree with you totally. There's no surprise, honestly, in his behavior. I think his behavior over a period of time has become worse. But the thing is, like I said, this man is a creation of the media. One of the people that I blame for him is the Joe Scarboroughs and the Mika Brzezinskis. I blame them heavily for him.
I don't know why you would say that, because
I'll tell you why I would say that. Because they were the ones who were pushing him on the
public, but they're not that powerful. They're not that powerful because people allow them
Patrice. It's the media that's powerful.
No, don't blame the media. The media is doing exactly what it has done from time immemorial. Whoever it can... that they can persuade to do whatever, that's their job, that's what they do. So the fact that they're doing it in favor of Donald Trump is no surprise. We're acting all surprised, like we don't understand the system. This is the point I'm making. None of this is a surprise. None of it.
I understand what you're saying, but I can't agree with that, Utrecht, because the surprise is, could it be the surprise is the ignorance of the American people?
No.
And their willingness to be manipulated?
No.
Something has had to have happened, Utrecht, in order for this man to ascend into this position that he has and to continuously be able to behave in the manner that he has. That's the question that needs to be answered.
Barack Obama, before Donald Trump, Barack Obama basically ruled or got his way by executive order. I had a big problem with that. But because everybody liked Obama, he's a young guy with nice teeth, give him a chance, they allowed Barack Obama to do things that were, in my view, really sketchy, and frankly, I would say unconstitutional. He ruled by executive order. Trump is doing exactly the same thing. So
there's a different severity of ruling?
Executive order. Okay. Barack Obama ran around Congress and got a lot of stuff done that should have been as a result of a process. He didn't do that. He was smelling himself. You know,
well,
he's a powerful young guy. He could get all the stuff done, and there was no national outrage. There's national outrage now.
Well, all I can say is that this guy in office now is going to make it bad for the next president, or he's going to make it good for him. Whatever's going to happen, there has to be some sort of change in the way. No. He will last for the next 2 years. I can't see him not lasting. How is he not going to last for the next 2 years? Now, after that, there's no telling what may happen.
If people in Congress, and particularly the Republican Party, actually got some nerve and actually did the job that they're supposed to do, he may not last.
Never happened.
But we'll see.
Never happened.
Thanks for calling and getting us started. Thanks so much, Jay, for your call today. Moki from Connecticut, what are your thoughts?
Greetings. This is Free Your Mind Friday, right, Yatrice?
Yes, it is.
So I can talk about anything I want for as long as you let me.
You need to talk directly into the phone or into your microphone because we're getting a lot of reverb.
You are?
Yes.
I don't know what to do about that. Is this any better?
No, but continue.
Okay. I'm assuming that not all these 800,000, have they solved the problem yet, or is the furlough still going on?
Well, it seems as if people are keeping it at a standstill. It's not solved at all.
So I'm assuming that not all these 800,000 people are single. So the number is really a lot larger. The number of lives that are being ruined by this is a lot larger than 800,000. I know you already know that, but I just want to point that out to the listeners. You could multiply that by possibly three times.
You know, the number of people affected by Donald Trump's illegal action of actually conducting a stick-up and holding hostage 800,000 people, which to me is just the most outrageous thing that we've seen in recent decades from a president, should take into account that many, if not most, of these people are attached to families, whether by marriage or not. The idea is that represents a number of people larger than the population of many small countries. And yet, you know, life is going on as usual in the United States. Maybe we need something super dramatic to get people to move their butts and take ownership of their citizenship.
We have all three branches of the government in collusion, really, against the people. And I think the people should effect a coup d'etat of their own.
Well, I don't know if we can go that far to suggest that there ought to be a coup d'etat. I would say that there are enough methods and means for people to have gotten in front of this problem, and they didn't, and they haven't. We can't say now, we did not get our way, or we got bamboozled, or Trump got ahead of us and his minions, and they're now in control, and therefore the only way to fight back is to stage a coup d'etat. First of all, we have no power.
We have public referendum. But I agree with you, this is a total fascist act. But I want to add to that Congress is useless because they're all bought. They're either...
They have been used. My point is, these revelations are, in fact, are useless right now. Mm-hmm. Congress isn't any more useless today than they have been in recent years. We have systematically failed to hold everybody accountable who should have been held accountable. And this is the mess we're in now, because we abrogated our responsibility to exercise our rights as citizens. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, we thought they were doing the job for us that we're supposed to be doing for ourselves.
No, we didn't.
Congress is more scared, more useless. They're more useless than ever. They're either bribed or threatened, and that's that.
Well, my point is, all these observations are too little, too late. We should have known this and understood the implications of this a long time ago. We can't react now because it is convenient, or because suddenly there's a revelation. That's on us. We failed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we got. We have this mess.
I wonder if everybody who watched The Apprentice voted for him.
Well, I mean, I don't care about The Apprentice or whatever else there is. I don't care about these things, because they're simply ways in which Trump and his advisors, they saw a way to use his exposure and to build on that exposure and to build the illusion of leadership and the qualifications therefore. So, again, it comes back to us. Why would we think that a guy who's got the money, he's funding the program, he's in charge of his program, and he's doing exactly what he wants to do? What happened to our brains that we couldn't make sense of that? That's on us. The whole thing now falls on us. And I am not accepting the easy way out of people pointing at Trump, look what he's doing. I saw it from day one, before he even became president. I talked about it on this program constantly. And now people are acting like, oh my God, look what he's doing. Well, yeah, this is what he would do, and any other so-called leader would do, if they see that the people are lethargic and the people don't care and their leaders don't care and the people don't make their leaders care. This is what happens.
Mm.
Thanks for calling. Thanks a lot. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hello, David. Did we lose David? Okay. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hello, wonderful Eutrice.
Hey, wonderful Harvey, what's going on?
Well, I see two agendas here. I see maintaining the status quo and running up the national debt. And the reason I say that is because what they want to do is maintain the status quo, keep the rich rich, keep the poor poor, and keep the middle class on their knees. And one of the ways they do this is to squander the wealth, the collective wealth, and run up the national debt to create debt. Like in 2000, the year 2000, the national debt was $5.6 trillion under Trump. And it's going to be higher. It's already $22 trillion. And the national debt is purchased by wealthy corporations, countries, and rich individuals. And they get paid first. When the dividends come into play, they get paid first. And we get the crumbs off the table. The same thing with... we get the crumbs off the table, which means cutting social programs, homelessness, cutting food stamps, keeping education expensive. It's all meant to take away the wealth and to in a sense, like Trump gave the 1% this great big tax cut, and everybody else got, again, very little. And it's a program, like when Clinton was in, he was actually paying off the national debt. He was essentially ruining the business. And so they put Bush in there to run it up with a war in Iraq. Anything they can do to create, and this wall, for instance, I don't know how many billions it's going to add on to the national debt. So anything they can do to squander the resources, the wealth of the people, and make sure that people don't get their money back, essentially. Like, for instance, our society loves the word socialite, which is a person who's very wealthy, who travels, who doesn't work. But if you say socialism, then that's the curse word. So socialite is okay, socialism is wrong. So that's what I see here, is that this is a way for them to keep us, like we give over 50% of our gross national product to the military-industrial complex, and whatever's left between after that and the national debt is peanuts. And so it's just it's a way to keep everybody in their place and maintain the system for those who control it.
Well, yes, but and I agree with what you're saying. I'm asking, why are we acting like this is new? Why are we reacting after so many decades of the formula being developed, refined, and certainly applied? Why are we reacting as if this is totally new, came at us from left field, and we had no idea, we didn't see it coming?
Well, I think that the part of the job of the media and entertainment is to, in a sense, distract and keep us all running in circles, and primarily with the fear, you know, the fear thing. Like, for instance, you know, recently Putin said they have a new bomb, and then our guy says, well, we got to build a bigger bomb to cover their bomb. That's another way they extract money from us, this game they got going. And so they keep us in a state of fear. They keep us one against the other. And in a sense, nobody has the time or the energy, and also all the debt and everything like that, working like crazy to, instead of having good social programs to support us all, they make us afraid that, you know, we'll turn into street people, and that, you know, you'll live in debt, you'll have to live in your car. So it's the fear cycle, and also entertainment. They keep us distracted away from all this stuff.
I don't disagree with you, but accept that the information that you just shared with us is accessible and has been accessible to us, but we've refused to heed the message. We refuse to take active responsibility. We just abrogated our responsibility to keep this government and all other governments, all other administrations in check. We just, you know, you show up like sheeple, you go and you vote, and then you go home. And then comes a torrent of things that adversely affect us all. When are we going to change our tune?
I guess
isn't untrustworthy today. He isn't a scoundrel today. He didn't start lying today. Why are we acting like all of this is new information that has caught us off guard? And we're pointing the finger outward, and I'm waiting for somebody to say, look, it's bad. We screwed up big time. We gave up our power. We yielded our power. Let's start a vigorous campaign to take it back. That's something as simple as that. But it will be true, and it would be based in our reality and in fact. But when we start talking and we give all these different explanations except the one that really matters here, and that is, we have blown it. We have blown it. We gave our power to these people, even if we didn't vote for Donald Trump. This country should have seen unrelenting protests in the street. But people are contented. They said, well, you know, we only have 2 more years to go, and let's see if we can. You know how much damage this man could do in 2 years?
I know. Well, I think this woman, Cortez, is a start. She wants to raise the, you know, she wants to tax the billionaires. And there was even Bill Gates from Microsoft. He says he doesn't think it's a good idea. The guy owns, the guy has so much money, and yet he's a little nervous that he might lose some of it. So I think she's the beginning of this change. And
I think we have to be careful of that. Because now we are transferring, everybody's looking like she's a saint. She's going to miraculously change things. No, she is a catalyst for us to do some serious thinking and planning. But she is not by herself going to change anything. You look at the viciousness with which she's already being attacked. And she is unprotected. This irritates me. Okay, so you want effective leadership. You got it. Where is the phalanx of citizens surrounding her and buttressing the idea of a whole new way to look at running this country? She can't do it. How is she going to do that? We keep doing the same thing over and over again. We, not them. We do the same thing over and over again. And we still have not learned the lesson that the most critical, the most critical element in democracy, that's us, not them. We cannot ever take our eyes off of these folks. We see the pattern. It's well documented. We know exactly what they will do or what they are likely to do. And it turns out that's exactly what they do. And then we act surprised. Oh, my God, look what they're doing. Well, you left them alone. You took your eyes off the prize. And this is no surprise. So if anything, this is a wake-up call, not about Trump. He's been like this since he's been born. His father was like this. His grandfather was like this. So this is not a new trait or a new attitude. What we do not see are new attitudes on the part of the people. That's the problem. And that's what really disappoints me and really is so depressing. Because you wonder, well, what would it take? What would it take for people to get out of the lethargy that we're in and take some responsibility for our collective survival? Thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN. FM. So who's up next? I think I lost my place. I think with all this agitation, I think I lost my place, but I found my place back. You're on the air. Maat, you're on the air.
Is this me?
Yes.
Hello?
I hope it's you.
Yes. Greetings, Utrice, and to the beloved family. First of all, I have some disagreement because I see, first of all, one of the committees, it was reported, the head of the Judiciary Committee, Nadler, didn't confirm it, but the reporter reported that they hired a couple of attorneys that have specialty in impeachment. And I referenced earlier the article by Applebaum online and in the current March Atlantic. It's called Impeach. It's time for Congress to judge the president's fitness to serve. And he laid basically four arguments why you shouldn't look at history as a parameter, but why you should proceed, because 2 years, as you and most of the listeners know, could be quite. I want to disagree in terms of all of these presidents have used executive power, and Trump has done it. There's a difference between an executive order and his using an Emergency Powers Act and taking money from money that has already been appropriated. That is a big difference. To Obama's, you know, he put through DACA, I believe, through executive order, and at one point,
Obamacare. Look how Obamacare was done. And I don't want to go back to...
I agree with that, and there's no public option. But in terms of Trump himself, I mean, this is somebody who's either demented, deranged, or has dementia. I mean, this guy just doesn't make any sense at any level. Yeah, and one of the things I want to bring up is that this idea of, I've never heard any president constantly being referred to around the base. This is something that's taken hold about his base and why he has to do this for the base. That's a conversation I find really, really weird. There's another article.
That's the thing. We are falling for all kinds of, I would say, inapplicable definitions and where we ought to look and what we need to understand. As I said some time ago, trust what you know. Trust what you know. And that's what I say all the time. The people have good reasoning, by and large. They just won't. They won't use it.
I'm not so sure they have good reasoning, because the critical thinking of 35-40%. First of all, when Gore lost to Bush, the Democrats as an organization should have done away with the Electoral College. I believe only 5 or 6 more states.
I don't care about what should have been done.
Yeah, but I'm going to say it still needs to be done in terms of the Electoral College.
We have a miserable and pathetic history of not doing what we ought to have done.
Yes, well, we still have to break it down to what we can do at this point.
No. You keep wiggling out. You keep wiggling out of accountability. We are accountable in large measure for our condition. That's my point. Let's stop this business of trying to find reasons why somebody else is responsible. Look what they have done. Look what they're doing to us. Well, why shouldn't they do it to us?
Well, part of the problem is education. Because when you see somebody like a Trump, knowing his history, or should, you should know his history, the way he started his campaign. One of the points that I want to bring up around all of this wall talk is that we cannot lose sight of the racism and the xenophobia. I mean, to take a whole population as he did in the beginning of his campaign.
That is so irrelevant right now. All of that is irrelevant. We should have had that conversation, or this conversation, at least 10 years ago with regard to Trump. We should have seen his rising a long time ago. We didn't. Or we saw it and we paid it no mind. We weren't sophisticated enough or interested enough to understand that what we were seeing in him as a person will someday be seen in him as a leader, our leader. We're dancing around the issue. We have messed up with a capital F. That's the problem. And we won't, no matter what we do, we won't take responsibility for that, and we won't correct our actions. And to load up on Trump, although he deserves it, is also to ignore all the other Democrats who did even worse to us as president.
Well, when you look at the fact that Trump has gotten, first of all, Steny Hoyer changed the 60 rule for the lower court judges, and of course we know that the Republicans, I don't understand how people aren't seeing the fact
that... water, let me explain to you. You're talking water under the bridge. It's a done deal. My question is, what happens now, hopefully, with people coming to a realization and a new understanding, not only of what is being done, but the impact, the likely impact of these things? We're still not there. We're finding all kinds of ways to divert our own attention from what we have to do. We are rationalizing why we have done nothing. And Trump is having his way, not only with the United States. He aims to own the world. People have said it. People have called it out. People have warned us. And we're still involved in this petty Annie stuff of, did you hear what he said? Well, why is this a surprise? Why is Donald Trump a surprise?
It's not so much that he's a surprise. It's just that the complicity, and if the Democrats controlled the Senate, he would be on his way to impeachment. So I think that's something that we should acknowledge.
Democrats cannot and do not control the Senate. That's the reality.
I understand that, but
don't talk about if. This is my point. You are faced and confronted with facts, irrefutable facts. Why would you now invest all this energy in trying to kid yourself and fool yourself?
I'm not sure what you're getting at. What is it that you're saying is the bottom line?
Well, I'm not saying there is a bottom line, except that we must claim responsibility for our dilemma now. We have to. We can't continue to blame the Republicans and blame Trump and blame this other.
Chose him as his nominee. So that's something that you have to look at. But what is the next step to you after we acknowledge that, yeah, out of you know what? So what do you think is the next step?
I am not going to recommend the next step. I'm going to say, because I have talked about this ad infinitum. I've talked about it. The next step is get a grip and, you know, get involved in your own survival, our collective survival. If that doesn't motivate you to get involved, then you deserve, and we deserve, exactly what we're getting.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And we should, beyond that, we should shut up. We should have
We have to. First of all, one of the things is the fact that people don't have skills of critical thinking.
I'm not buying that. In times of extreme duress, let's use as a reference enslavement in this country. Black people had their heads screwed on right. So I don't buy it that people don't have critical thinking skills. Well, people survive. That's evidence of critical thinking skills. We have them. So we keep, and I'm hoping that you listen to yourself. We keep providing excuses for ourselves, not taking care of business, not protecting our flanks, not moving in a direction that is logical and that advances our cause as a collective. We keep doing that. And not just with Trump. You know how much craziness Barack Obama got away with? What did Barack Obama promise to African nations? What did he do? What did he delineate as a U.S. commitment to Africa and the African world? What did he do? Well, I can tell you what he did. He went to Africa and started wagging his finger of blame at African leaders, talking down to them, basically telling them why they should not expect a damn thing from him. And we let it slide. This is not unique to Trump. Trump's behavior and conduct, he understands exactly what he's doing. And we should understand exactly what he's doing. And we should try the best we can to move, to shift him out of our sphere of influence. But we're not doing anything except complaining. We are doing nothing but complaining. And that's
I think that in order to act in an active and a collective way, one must analyze the situation. I think it's a continuing process of analysis.
We've had enough time. We're done. We have had enough time. We are suffering, as Dr. Jeffries would say, from the paralysis of analysis. That's all we do. We don't do anything. We simply analyze.
I think it goes beyond that, because when we see 100-plus women in the midterms, the first two Native American women, the first two Muslim women, AOC.
You're falling for propaganda. You're falling for propaganda.
No, I'm not falling for propaganda.
How many women, if you look closely at them and interrogate them and look at their credentials, how many of all these women that you see are truly in the spirit of protecting the survival of people? How many are there as careerists? I know it's convenient now to present themselves as people who are from the community and of the community, but look at them closely. Kamala Harris, a former prosecutor. You're going to just accept, just out of the bag, that she is dedicated to the black cause? Look, get out of here with that. Look, just because you're a woman doesn't mean... Look at Hillary Clinton. She's a woman.
Yes, I understand that, but you're not just having just some women. You're like Alexandria Cortez.
The woman is in her 20s. She is just easing into her 30s. She has to grow. She has, and as I noted, if you recall, that you see that there was no welcome wagon for her. There were no other women surrounding her and counseling her and offering to guide her. We didn't see that. She is still viewed as an anomaly and a renegade who has to be put in line to Nancy Pelosi's satisfaction. And all those women who talk to us about, you know, the power of womanhood and whatnot, they are obeying Nancy Pelosi's instructions to isolate her. So let's do some thinking. Let's do some critical thinking. Thanks for your call today. Bruce from New York, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Bruce. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi. Good afternoon, Beatrice. I really I'm really appreciating your righteous indignation today on this matter, and you're really looking deep. And that's how I like to look at things. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, this is the problems that we have now are problems that we cause ourselves over time. And when I say we, I don't only mean this generation or the last or the one before. And because the problems are so deep, they seem intractable. And although I believe that we should have some type of action, you know, I am still unsure that we are in a place where any type of action by our part could counter the mountain of difficulties that have been built up over centuries, maybe decades at least, yeah? So I'm a bit, although I agree with you, I can't see what we can do effectively. To me, it seems as though this has been allowed to become too big a problem, you know? I don't see a way out, you know? When civilizations meet this point, like the Roman Empire, for instance, I mean, they just die. You know, I mean, I don't see any action that could avoid, you know, a kind of a national death. You may want to correct me.
No, I like the way you give me an order.
That's the last thing I would presume to do. I want to engage you. Yeah.
let's look at this in a practical way. We have very few indicators that we are in control, even of our communities and our families. Very few indicators. And I've talked about this relentlessly. That's where it starts. Control your block. You can't have litter on your sidewalk. You can't have your children out in the street at 11 and 12 o'clock at night. You can't have what clearly is an indication of a block or group of people who are out of control. They have no discipline. There's no organization. You cannot organize in the midst of such disorganization. You can't. And we just refuse to do it. But you know what is happening now? And I said it at the time, criticizing Harlem. Well, Harlem is going to have a lot of organization now. Because it's being sold right from under the people. So it will have organization now. All the years that you had it and failed to do what you needed to do, although you had templates, the people who lived in Harlem, when my aunt lived in Harlem, they lived in an organized community. They were proud. The first picture I saw of my aunt in New York was she was dressed very nicely and had a broom right there on the stoop, sweeping her stoop. And I talked about how one guy moved in and somebody confirmed it. A pimp, a drug dealer. And the entire neighborhood went to hell. We have to recognize that we have failed and we still are failing at the basics. Basics.
Yeah, but you, Trace, I'm sure there are many other communities in this country that are even more organized than you are suggesting. For instance, the organization or the community based on ownership of the economy in their own communities, right? And we still have, at the macro level, we still have this impending dystopia coming at us. And we see it around the world. We see Trump, for instance, or the American deep state, is looking to go to war in Venezuela.
You're arguing the wrong point. What you arguing and what you putting before us is that these anomalies should not alarm us because it is happening everywhere. I find that I out of hand dismiss that. Because we are two different communities, we have two different histories. Even in times of extreme duress, slavery, Jim Crow, we held together. We had a disciplined way of life. We were an interdependent community, always. The fact that it no longer exists in large measure does not negate the fact that the possibility still is there. Nobody wants to embrace that. Nobody is working toward healing their communities. Nobody understands the implication of letting a community go. We heard from Dr. Claude Anderson earlier this week, and what did he say? He has been traveling the entire country looking for communities, and instead what he finds on a kind of loose connection of neighborhoods. A neighborhood is not a community. We have yielded the infrastructure. We give it to somebody else to figure out how we should behave, how we should live, how we should build. And this is across the board. Americans have yielded their power and authority because they find it way too hard to do the work themselves. And yet it is the basis of creating communities and power. It is the basis of power. We seem to have no interest in it. And then when somebody like Trump comes along, we get all excited because look what he's doing. Well, why shouldn't he do what he's doing? This is where he comes from psychologically. He's used to.
Right, but that constellation of power that you described just now has never been used for the good of everybody. You know, it has given us what we have now.
Well, I would say it has been used strategically. And this is the world of politics. If somebody needs to, like Trump, it doesn't matter to Trump whether people see him as a kind man and, you know, even-handed, and that does not matter to him. In fact, the exact opposite is what his political currency is. How could I impress my racist base that I am, in fact, their leader because I am doing exactly what they expect me to do?
But the mere fact that a man like Trump could be elected, and this is why I agree with you, fundamentally, because we don't blame ourselves enough. I mean, a man like this should not get 10 votes in a country like this. I mean,
a not so subtle hint that it's time to go. Thank you all for your contribution today, and to meet up on Monday again. Bye-bye.